course, you know that today is Time Change Sunday. Probably many of you, it doesn't affect you. I mean, you can just lose that hour of sleep and not feel it at all. But I tell you what, I was talking to Martha before the service. This just messes me up. When I lose that hour of sleep and have to move the clocks back, I'm out of sorts for 4 or 5 weeks. And just about the time I get used to it, we have to change them again. I guess the people that decide if we're going to do it or not know more than I do. If it was up to me, I'd just leave it alone. I want to preach a sermon sort of related to Time Change Sunday. I have just a few things to say by way of introduction. I will remind you this morning that time was actually made by God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, "And God said, let there be lights." This was on day 4 of creation. "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And so when God created those great lights and put them in the heavens, the sun, moon, and the stars, he basically created time. He marked off days. He marked off years. And God keeps track of time. Now, I'm going to say in just a minute, he's not bounded by time because he's eternal and there will be no time in heaven. But I'll get to that in a second. But God keeps track of time. For example, he told Abraham that his descendants would be captive in Egypt for 430 years. And you go back and you read the account in the book of Exodus when they left Egypt, and the Bible says the very day that the 430 years were up was when God brought them out of Egypt. He told his people through the prophets that if they continued to sin, he was going to send them into captivity, and they were going to be taken over by Babylon and be captive in Babylon, and he said for 70 years. And I believe, even though the Bible doesn't record that, you know, the same thing that it does about the Israelites, that at the end of 70 years, not one day less, not one day more, God caused the king to proclaim their freedom, and they were able to return to their homeland. So God made time. He knows how to track it. And as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he has established a time for every purpose in our life. And as we were reading some of those things, I thought about on different occasions that I have read this passage of Scripture to remind people that everything that happens in our life is appointed by God. And he has set a time for everything. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to weep and a time to laugh. And God has set special times up in each one of our lives. We can go back and we can read about some of the feasts that God set up. Special days, special times that he wanted his people to remember a certain thing. We can read about the Passover day, when he did come through the land, the death angel did come through the land of Egypt. And if the Israelites had put blood on their doorpost and on their lintel, he would pass over that house and the firstborn wouldn't be killed. We can read about the Day of Atonement, that one day of year that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and offered the blood on the mercy seat to pay for the people's sins. And so God has set up special days and special times, and he's appointed a time to every purpose. And then, as I mentioned a moment ago, he's not bounded by time like we are. The Bible says 1,000 years to him are as one day, or one day as 1,000 years. And one thing that makes heaven heaven is that we will not be bounded by time, because there's no night in heaven. I mean, there's no sun, moon, and stars. Jesus is the light of heaven. So there will never be a night. And so we sing that song and we enjoy it a lot. That last verse of Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But you know what? When we get to heaven, we're not going to know when 10,000 years are up. There's no way to count it. And by the way, people say, boy, what are we going to do in heaven? Aren't we going to get bored? No, 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 no. You know, the older I get, and I was talking to Judy's mom in the hospital time before last, the older I get, it seems like time passes quicker. It just seems like, you know, I was 50 years old yesterday, and now I'm 10 years older. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to notice the passage of time. There's going to be something new and fresh every morning. There won't be morning, but every instance as the Lord reveals himself to us and we fall in love with him more and more. And so this morning, what I want to do is take one period of time, one short period of time, one 24-hour period of time, and speak on the subject today. Today. I don't have any deep new thoughts this morning, but I want to share some truths with you. These are familiar truths, and yet I think they are truths that we need to be reminded of often, because sometimes we forget. And so here we go. Number one. And by the way, the clock says it's only a quarter to 11, so I get to preach for another hour and 15 minutes. Thank you for not changing the clock. Just teasing. Number one, today is the only day that you have to live your life. You ever stop and think about that? Today is the only day that you have to live your life. Life is not comprised of yesterdays and tomorrow. Life is comprised of today's. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is only a hope. And so today is the only time that I have to live. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I remember one time several years ago, I was talking to Bev Maxwell. It was right after she discovered that she had cancer. And we were just sitting back there at the end of the service one Sunday morning, and we were just talking, and she said to me, you know, I get up every morning now, and I thank God for today. I just thank him for letting me get up and have today. And she says, you know, I knew it all my life, but I've realized it more as I've got this disease, that today is the only day that I have. And so I'm going to enjoy today. She said, I'm going to try to pack everything into today that I can. And we had this conversation probably several times. And I always said to her when she started talking to me about it, I said, Bev, you know, that's true for every single one of us. It's true. I mean, we might not have a life-threatening disease. We might not have something that we know sooner or later is going to take us to heaven. But every single one of us, the only time that we have to live is today. Today. Again, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow, maybe we'll get it, maybe we won't. And so today, we need to thank God for today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. That's why the Bible says for us to number our days. In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And as we remember how frail we are, we will learn to thank God for this day that he has given us. I had lunch with a couple guys I used to work with, and they were telling me about this one guy. He was there when I was there, and he was so looking forward to retirement. I mean, even when I left 3 years ago, he knew the very day that he was going to retire. And he had it marked down on the calendar, even though it was 4 or 5 years from that time. And so he retired the 15th of January. And he had all sorts of plans that he was going to enjoy in his retirement. And these two guys told me that he was in a car accident on the 18th of January and was killed in a car accident. And I thought about that. I didn't know him real well. But I said, boy, I hope he enjoyed life. I hope he enjoyed life while he was working. because he didn't get to enjoy much of his retirement. Just 3 days. He planned for it his whole life, but God only gave him 3 days. He was a Christian. He's in heaven. I think he's having a good time this morning. But he didn't get to do the things that he planned. And again, I use that as a reminder that today is the only day that we have to live our life. And so I say to you this morning, don't live your life in the past. Yes, memories are a good thing, and we ought to cherish the memories that we have. But that's what they are, memories. And don't live your life in the future. I think we ought to have dreams, and we ought to have goals, and we ought to save, and we ought to plan. But don't wait until tomorrow to live, because tomorrow may not come. You need to live your life today. For example, today is the only day that you have to tell your spouse or to tell your kids or to tell your grandkids that you love them. I was talking to one of our men, and I don't know how the subject came up, but he made the statement. I've heard him say it before. He said, well, I told my wife 40 years ago when we got married that I loved her. And if anything ever changes, I'll tell her. I said, no, that's not the right way to do it. You ought to tell her today that you love her, and then tell her again. Ooh, who put this can in here? I did. You ought to tell her today that you love her. You ought to tell her tomorrow that you love her, because today is the only day that you got. Aaron and I, every time we leave each other, every time I talk to him on the phone, my little grandson, I say, Aaron, I love you. And he always says, Pa, I love you too. And so I enjoy that. And that's how we ought to live our life. Today's the only day that you have to tell your children and your grandchildren and your spouse that you love them. I got to go to a birthday party yesterday, and it was a family and a few friends. And I got to hear at that birthday party a younger sister tell her older sister, now she roasted her a little bit and reminded her that she made, when they were younger, she made her little sister gargle with vinegar to, you know, for dental hygiene. But after, with all the roasting, I got to hear this younger sister tell her a little bit older sister, see, I just said a little bit older sister, how much she loved her and how much she meant to her. And I was reminded of two other sisters I know that aren't talking to each other right now because they're fussing over something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You listen to me. You tell your brothers, you tell your sisters, you tell your spouse, you tell your children, you tell your grandchildren. I don't care if you're mad at them. I don't care if they've disappointed you. I don't care what they've done. You tell them that you love them today. 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 I got to go to another birthday party Friday night, and it was just a group of friends that just wanted to tell a dear, sweet, special lady that they loved her and that they appreciated her. You know, we don't have our friends forever. We don't have them forever. We just got them today. And if we don't take advantage of today, if we don't live our life today, we're going to wake up one day and life's going to be gone. Our friends are going to be gone. Our family's going to be gone. And we will have missed the opportunity to tell them that we love them. Today is the only day that we have to live this life. Second point, number two, today is the only day that we have to serve God. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is today. The night cometh when no man can work. That's why in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28, it says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee that when thou hastest by thee. What Solomon was saying is, if you have a neighbor that needs something and you have it and you can give it to him, don't tell him to come back tomorrow and get it, because tomorrow never may come. If you have it and they need it, give them to it now, because the only day that you have to do what God wants you to do is today. Is today. I read a story this week about a church down in Texas. And they had been saving their money to expand their building, and they were getting close to what they needed to start. And the preacher said, got up and he said, "Hey, we're going to have a give it all Sunday. We're going to have a Sunday where we're going to ask the Lord to just give us the rest of the money that we need to expand." He said, "I want you to go home and pray about it. And on this Sunday, which is 3 or 4 weeks from now, we'll bring our offerings in and trust the Lord to give us the rest of the money that we need." And so people went home, they started praying about it. And on Thursday, after he announced it on Sunday, a man came to the office at the church. And he said, "Pastor, my wife and I have been praying, and the Lord's already told us what he wants us to give. And so here's a check for $10,000. We want to add this to the building fund." And the preacher said, "Hey, you can't afford to give that much. I mean, that's a lot." And the man said, "No, listen, I was raised in this church. I was saved in this church. I was baptized in this church. My wife was raised in this church. She was saved in this church. She was baptized in this church. You married us. We dedicated our babies in this church. Our kids got saved in this church, and you baptized them. We prayed about it, and God said, this is what he wants us to do. So I want you to take this check." And the pastor said, "Well, why don't you just hang on to it? Why don't you just hang on to it? The special offering's going to..." I'd never say something like this, but this pastor said, "Well..." Just teasing. But the pastor said, "Why don't you just hang on to it? The offering's in about, 4 weeks from now, and you can put it in to the offering." And the man said, "Well, why should I do that? God's already told me what he wants me to do. I know what he wants me to do. I'll be here that week. The offering's taken. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I'll be here. But he's already told me what he wants me to do. Why should I wait? I'd like you to give it. I'd like to give it now. I'd like you to take it now." And the pastor said, "Okay." So he took the check. He said, I'll just lock it up in the safe, and I'll actually put it in the offering that week of the offering." In a couple weeks, this guy was invited by a friend to go on a golfing trip. And they were going to fly from Texas up to Denver in a 4-passenger plane. And the plane took off from Dallas, I think the story goes. And before it got to Denver, they lost all contact with it. The radar went dead, and they sent out search parties, and they could not find the wreckage of that plane. So the story goes, somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, there are 4 bodies waiting for the resurrection. The day of the offering came. That man's wife and his 2 kids sat in the pews of that church. And he took the offering, and the pastor slipped in the offering for that man the $10,000 that he'd given him a few weeks earlier. Now let me ask you this morning, I believe there's people here that God's already told you what he wants you to do. He's already told you what he wants you to do. What are you waiting for? Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. What are you waiting for? What else does God need to do? What else does God need to tell you? He's told you. This guy said, I already know what God wants me to do. Why should I wait? Why shouldn't I do it today? Because today is the only day that we have to serve the Lord. Today is the only day we have to do what he wants us to do. And so if you're here this morning and the Lord's already told you something to do and you've been hesitating, you've been holding back, you've been waiting for the right time, I want to tell you, today's the right time. Today's the right time. And then number 3, today is the only day that you have to get saved. Today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Let me remind you this morning that we are all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're trying to decide if you're a sinner or not, or if you need a Savior or not, don't compare yourself to me. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You can always find somebody that's a worse sinner than you are. You need to compare yourself to Jesus. He is the glory of God embodied. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we come up short. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, spiritual death. Being separated from God. But and so if we pay what we owe because we're all sinners, all of us owe or deserve to be separated from God. Forever. 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 But God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died to pay the price that we owe because we're sinners. And the Bible says that if we receive him, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you prayed and asked him for that gift of eternal life that he offers to every person? Have you? What are you waiting for? You know, one of the favorite tools that the devil uses to keep people from getting saved is he'll come to us and say, hey, don't worry about it. You've got plenty of time. You're young. You have your whole life to live. You don't need to worry about it. Now you can do it tomorrow. You can do it next week. You can do it next year. You can do it when you get middle age. You can wait till you get old. You'll have plenty of time to do it. I watched the obituaries the other night. I saw a little baby that died. I saw a teenager die. There was a little 3-year-old boy on the obituaries on the TV the other night. There was a 28-year-old young lady. Yeah, there were a lot of people that were 80 or 90 years old as well. But those young ones, they didn't make it till tomorrow. They didn't make it till next week. They didn't make it till next year. Today is the day of salvation. Please don't listen to Satan's lies. He'll tell you got plenty of time. I don't know how much time you got left. I'm not predicting that anybody's going to die, but I'll tell you what, I think the Lord could come back anytime. Anytime he could come back. Are you ready? Why don't you take this Sunday that we've messed around with the clocks and move time around? Why don't you make today the day that you decide, I'm going to live my life today. If there's some things I've left unsaid to my family, if I've left unsaid to my friends, I'm going to say them today. I'm going to say them today. On this day that we've changed clocks, why don't we decide, hey, if the Lord's told me to do something, I'm going to do it today. Today. And if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, why don't you just decide right now, I'm going to take care of it today. When they stand up and they start singing, I'm going to walk down that aisle and I'm going to tell that preacher that I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior. And if you do that this morning, I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to do that. Today is the day. Would you live your life today? Would you serve the Lord today? Would you get saved today? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad you brought us together this morning. I'm glad that each person's here. I'm glad we have the Bible and we can open the Bible and learn from the Bible that today is the only day that we have. And so if we're going to live and if we're going to love and if we're going to serve you and if we're going to get saved, we need to do it today. And so I pray, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that if you told us to do something, maybe it's the first step of obedience, maybe it's the simple thing of getting baptized, I pray today we decide to be obedient. I pray for those that are living their life in the past or in the future. The memories are a wonderful thing, and hope for the future is a wonderful thing. But, Father, help us to realize if we're going to live, we need to live today. And then, Father, I pray especially for those that are here that don't know Christ. As they see their sin and the penalty for that sin and what Jesus did for them, I pray today would be their day of salvation. So, Father, I ask you to bless this invitation as we stand to sing. Holy Spirit, be clear in your leading. Please, don't pass us by, but speak to us. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.